This is the 100th episode of College Crosscast. Well, not really, because we did a whole bunch of this, but the 100th mainline episode of the Crosscast. So on this 100th episode extravaganza, we're going to be previewing the first week where everybody's playing. It's week two in the college lacrosse world, and I'm Ryan McDonald.
I'm Jake Nazar.
I'm Chris Ostremski.
Hey, folks, how you doing? This is Erie Barrister.
And this is the preview episode of College Crosscast. As we said, we were going to split it up between previews and reviews, so the new format's been a huge hit. We thank you for listening to the review of last week's chaos. Also, shout out to U.S. Lacrosse Magazine for including it in their links, so a big bump there from them as well, so thanks for the assist on that. But people have been liking the new format. People wanted it. We're giving it to them, and the results have been great, so we thank you for tuning in. And this week, we'll reward you with quite a few games to talk about.
The Ivy League start up their season, except for Cornell for some reason, because they play next week. But other than that, everyone's playing.
And the America East is also in their first week as well. For most of them.
No, definitely shout out to the America East Network. That's going to be the first nationally streamed game for Penn State this year. So Stony Brook versus Penn State is going to be probably a big bump in viewership because we all finally get to see the Nittany Lions play.
All right, so let's take a look at this week's schedule. By the way, we're recording this on Valentine's night, so that goes to show you all of our priorities are, but that's okay.
Do you know what my priorities are?
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
But yeah, let's look at, this is going to be released on Friday, so let's say today's games. It starts off at 3 o'clock with Towson at Mount St. Mary's. That one will be on NEC Front Row, as will Lafayette at Wagner at 4. We had a move in the schedule. Lehigh, Virginia got pushed up to Friday due to some inclement weather in the forecast. So they'll be squaring off tonight if you're listening on Friday at 5 o'clock. That will be on ACC Network Extra. Some Friday night lacrosse for you heading your way as well. Marquette at Jacksonville will be on at 7 on ESPN+. Chris will tell you that it's a good investment.
And it is.
UMBC Navy will be at 7 on Patriot League Network as well, so a little Maryland battle there should be a decent one, too, between the Retrievers and the Midshipmen.
I think the game that I originally was going to be watching UMBC Navy, which I probably still am, luckily it's a 7 o'clock start, but that Lehigh-Virginia game at 5 makes things interesting now for that Friday, little happy hour lacrosse. We'll see if Andrew Pettit is playing for Lehigh. He missed the past two games. He's out for undisclosed reasons. We'll find out why. Maybe, but they need Pettit to play. And we saw what happened last week with Hofstra. They lost 4-3 in a very, very low scoring game. And Virginia, you know, they're trying to bounce back from a usual loss to Loyola, I should say. And Loyola looked really good. Virginia has some things to work on. Originally, this was going to be a big game on the early in February, but now with where Lehigh's at, and now Virginia's not where a lot of people thought they were going to be.
Why? Well, people thought
still, it's still a big game,
but they were going to beat Loyola. People thought Virginia was going to beat Loyola. Really? I mean, I know Ryan did because Ryan's dumb, but
I was going off of rivalry history, but I did say that it could go either way, so I'm not surprised. Yeah, but I'm not surprised by it.
I don't know. I'm not watching Lehigh until I have until they've been safely euthanized after last week. This one three goddamn goals.
Move on to Saturday's slate. It starts off with a Midwestern clash between Bellarmine and Cleveland State. They'll square off at 11. Then it's Billy T versus Touchdown John Donowski, Denver Duke, at the ripe time of 11 a.m. That's 9 a.m. body clock.
Bellarmine Cleveland State at 11 Central or like what? What was going on?
All there? Eastern. All these are Eastern time.
Oh.
So,
Cleveland State of one.
Zach, do you know that? We are all North.
No, I'm just confused because I'm looking at
elitist media.
I was looking at IL's schedule and it says 1 p.m.
Well, IL's dumb because I looked at right from Cleveland State's schedule. Mm.
Yes, remember that. The complete 2019 NCAA Division I men's lacrosse schedule.
Last week, you already gave up on that. I listened. You gave up on the looking at the college crossman last week already. So.
Yeah, only for the scoreboard, not for the upcoming games.
As a sneak peek to our listeners, we're going to do something called we'll just call it a scoreboard. So Ryan will have all the scores and games from Friday to Sunday from a college cross post. So to be able to review it on Monday. So look for that Sunday night.
Sounds good to me.
And I also shared with you guys the schedule for the 16th. So a lot of games, over 30, even without Virginia. So it's going to be great. It's like the really first opening weekend, right, for lacrosse. I mean, pretty much everybody's in the pool. It's going to be really, it's going to be a great weekend.
Yes. So Denver versus Duke at 11 a.m. That'll be on ACC Network Extra. Worth noting, if you're a fan of pointing out body clocks, that's 9 a.m. local for Denver. So something to keep in mind for that. Furman and Sacred Heart will square off at 11 a.m. at Radnor High School in Radnor, Pennsylvania. No streaming on that one, but we do have streaming for a New England matchup between Dartmouth and BU. That one will be on at noon on Patriot League Network. It's a Rhode Island derby as Providence takes on Bryan at noon. That one will be on NEC Front Row. High Point Drexel on Dragons TV. Interesting one in D.C. as well. Robert Morris will take on Georgetown at noon. That one will be on Hoya Vision, which I think will be a pay-per-play telecast, but worth the money if you wanted to splurge on that one. Harvard at UNC at noon on ACC Network Extra. The Crimson will start their season taking on the Tar Heels. Another good one, Army at Rutgers at noon. That will be on BTN Plus. So once again, it will be for a monetary fee, but this is a rematch of the big upset last year. This time it shifts over to Piscataway, so that'll be at noon on BTN Plus. Penn State, can they continue their skull-crushing ways as they head out to the island to take on Stony Brook? That one's at noon on AmericaEast.tv. Holy Cross at Vermont will also be on at noon on AmericaEast.tv. And also at noon, Manhattan at VMI as VMI starts their season.
What a juicy game, Manhattan VMI.
All right, the one
I mean, way to make them feel good about themselves. Jesus Christ.
I mean, I know Denver Duke is a highlight, but I mean, just to rehash that point, I am kind of excited to see Penn State actually play a game that we can all watch. That game versus Stony Brook, shout out to America East TV. That's going to be really good. But, we'll go through them, but... outside of Denver versus Duke, that I really think that Georgetown Robert Morris is going to be really interesting, just because Robert Morris, is now 0-1 on the season after getting
The upside, it literally can't get worse.
Yeah, exactly. But we may at the end of the season think well, that's just the Penn State show.
I really don't think it says much about Robert Morris.
Exactly, right? That was a bad second quarter for sure. Penn State literally scored 12 goals on 13 shots. But I think Morris should bounce back. And that game versus Georgetown is going to be a good test, especially for the Hoyas. Jake, you made a good point. That Sacred Heart game was a deceivingly good team. Georgetown winning that game to start out the season was pretty impressive. So, those are... the noon slate and 11 o'clock slate is going to be fun. But, I'm really looking forward to that Penn State-Stony Brook game.
The daycare. Sorry, Chris.
I was going to say, Robert Morris, that's the game I'm looking for. We know about Georgetown's offense. I want to see a little bit of their defense, too. I didn't see a lot of them. But I knew Sacred Heart was, a good opponent. They were in it for the first half. Owen McElroy, the freshman netminder, made 16 saves against the Pioneers last week. We'll see how he does against another NEC team. High Point, how they do against Drexel in their game right after they beat Duke a week and a half ago. And then also UNC Harvard, two teams that kind of need a win. They kind of need something to at least bounce their programs back. And I think the highlight matchup-wise, Penn State's great, but I'm looking at Army and Rutgers as that highlight of the noon slate games there.
The UNC has lost a bad one out of conference for about 3 years running. Last year they got doubled up at Hofstra. They also lost to Richmond. In 2017 they lost to Hofstra again and Richmond. Back in 2016 they lost by 5. UNC also lost to Hofstra. And UNC lost to Hofstra 3 years in a row. I just feel like pointing this out because I've just realized this now. So, and they took them off the schedule this year. I wonder why. Anyhow, yeah, so UNC has had a bad one out of conference for a couple of years in a row now. And they've got Hopkins and Denver coming up after this, so, you know, it is Harvard's first game of the year. UNC has looked pretty solid. They've scored 34 goals in two games, but maybe one to watch out for, see if the Tar Heels can avoid a potential trap game before those two big ones.
And the 1 o'clock slate's looking pretty good as well. As I say that, we have Colgate at Binghamton at 1. Can Colgate avoid a letdown after
getting
bruised?
We're just crapping all over people today. Kind of VMI making fun of Colgate Binghamton. Colgate beat your school, by the way, Ryan.
No, I'm saying it's like I realize that Colgate's probably going to crush Binghamton, so that's not as much.
Oh, so now you're going after Binghamton.
Unfortunately, yeah. I think that's a little bit one-sided. But, hey, we got Quinnipiac Brown at 1 on ESPN+. And then we have St. Joseph's Fairfield at 1. That'll be on Facebook Live. So that's a free game for y'all. St. John's Hartford at 1 on AmericaEast.tv. Like the good old days of Rangers versus Whalers. Bit of an intriguing one on the island. Utah at Hofstra, that'll be at 1. Hofstra will be doing their own production for that. But Utah coming off their first ever win. Head to the Dutch Dome to play Hofstra after a victory over a top 20 Lehigh last week. So intrigue abounds there. Canisius Mercer at 1 o'clock. That'll be on the SoCon Digital Network. The Jersey Route 33 Derby, Princeton at Monmouth. Safe would know what I'm talking about as a Trenton resident. Am I right?
Shout out to Mercer County.
So there's that at 1. Delaware at NJIT will be on at 1. That's on Highlander Sports Network, so an NJIT production. Maryland does their annual visit to Philadelphia as they take on Penn. That one would be on at 1 on ESPN+. Hobart at Siena in a battle of the throughway at 1. Ohio State at UMass at 1. That one will be on LAC Sports Network. That one also a pretty intriguing one. Ohio State with some good early season victories. UMass setback last week against Army, but didn't look too bad in the process. So that one could be a fun one to watch. That one will be on at 1. And then the defending champion Yale Bulldogs get their 2019 campaign underway as they host Villanova, unveil their banner and all that fun stuff in the pregame ceremonies before they get down to business. That one, 1 o'clock on ESPN+.
They're all right. I mean, kind of highlights or matchups I'm going to be looking for. If you're out in New York and you want to see Utah, I mean, they will be out on the East Coast a little bit more later on the year, but this will be Utah's first trip out east to play in a regular season matchup. We'll see how they adjust. I think the first time they did went out to the East, they had a good first half against UMBC, and then they got clobbered, but that was the fall. We'll see how they do against a team like Hofstra, who might be, both teams are pretty much coming off good wins for their respective programs. Utah's first ever win against Mercer. Hofstra, an upset over Lehigh. Could they be a little bit confident coming in? We'll see. Princeton-Monmouth will be interesting at 1 o'clock. I know last year Princeton won in double overtime against the Hawks.
Really? Monmouth, that's amazing. I've been led to believe that Princeton was some world-beating, consistently great program. Huh.
So Monmouth, I saw them earlier in January. They were just about a week into practicing. They didn't have a lot of guys either scrimmaging either, but early on they looked good. Obviously, kind of showed later on that they had a little bit of rust and they need to work a lot more against the Sacred Heart team. But, you know, we'll see how Princeton is in their first game. And then Maryland Penn, same thing. Penn's coming off first game, Ivy League. Heard a lot about them last year with that RPI. And then Yale, same. I mean, all the Ivy League teams, I'd be interested to see how they look in their first game.
Yeah, Villanova was beat Yale last year, which sort of ended up being the high point of their season, even though they made the NCAA tournament. Yeah, you know, I don't think Yale should have too many problems in that one. UMass, you know, I'm not going to say they need a win, but you know, they've given themselves, you know, they go on the road the next 4 weeks after this. They're at Harvard, at Yale, at Albany, and then at NJIT. That one's a bit an easier game, but, you know, they've certainly given themselves a tough schedule, and, you know, you want to get some wins on the board. They did play well against Army, you know, but Army did have a bit more answers on the offensive side of the ball, and so far, Iowa State looks like they've kind of rediscovered some of the offense that they had in 2017, but like last year, Jack Krasinski has 8 goals. Trevor Clare has 7 goals. Lucas Buckley Jackson, they both have 3 goals themselves. They've looked solid. Maryland Penn. This is the first time you got to watch the Terps for, a reasonable price considering BTN Plus charges you like $10.99 or something ridiculous. Princeton, certainly some high expectations, you know, on certain people on this podcast. And I'm not going to be watching Hofstra because they scored 4 goals last week.
And the 2 o'clock slate has a big rivalry game on it. We got Marist at Air Force at 2 will be on Mountain West Network. So the Mountain. Is it on the Mountain, or they get rid of the Mountain and now it's a streaming and it's Mountain West Network? Okay?
I think it's Mountain West Network, if I'm correct.
Okay. But either way, good to see them on the main conferences network, which is good. Richmond Bucknell at 2. That could be an interesting one to see as well. You know, Bucknell kind of nipping at the top 20, and a win against Richmond would look really good for them. We have Hampton will head on the road to take on JUCO Potomac State of WVU. Potomac State College of WVU.
Where's that again, Ryan?
Apparently in West Virginia, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's at 2 o'clock.
Maryland is that? Okay, cool.
And the big one, though, 2 o'clock ESPN 3. It'll be on ESPNU the next morning. The Charles Street Derby. Loyola coming off their big win against UVA. At Johns Hopkins coming off their big loss to Towson at Homewood Field. College Lacrosse's closest, literally, rivalry.
I will just say this. For all the people who say Hopkins is on TV too much, I'd like you to know that a repeat of Loyola versus Hopkins means more to ESPN on ESPNU than whatever game that you want in their place. So I'm looking forward for this one. If there's no better, as a Hopkins fan, there's no better way to get over a bad loss added a rival than to beat another rival at your home. So Hopkins is going to definitely have to play a lot better if they have any shot against Loyola. Loyola is arguably, I don't know if any one of us here have them as number one, but they have a good case to be the best team in the country. So it's going to be a tough task for Hopkins on Saturday.
I'd also like to let people know, as Adam mentioned last week, that there is this thing called TV contracts that we have.
No one cares!
So
move on!
There are going to be new graphics on this telecast, am I right, Chris?
4 p.m. Albany will go to Syracuse. You can find it on ACC Network.
We'll see.
Just like Syracuse with the getting rid of the sleeved uniforms, am I right?
Anyways, with this 2 o'clock. I mean, Loyola's good. Johns Hopkins, if you mentioned, they need to bounce back in a big way. Cole Williams is pretty much kind of absent for most of the Towson game. He needs to get going. I mean, we saw Joey Epstein score a goal, but that was it. I mean, that's probably like the biggest.
Which was double any other top player on
mention of him at all in that game.
I feel like if you're going to call out anyone, you shouldn't be calling out the dude who literally had double points of anyone else on the team.
Meanwhile, with Loyola, Cam Wires, good freshman defenseman. I know Matt Hughes was supposed to start a defense as well, but they looked fine against Virginia.
Oh, God. Kevin Lindley. I mean, ooh, obviously, Pat Spencer is going to be Pat Spencer, but if they get that type of contribution from Kevin Lindley every single game, Loyola is going to be just really tough to beat. Like, I know they have to, like, you know, clean up on their turnovers. They actually had, I think, like, significantly more turnovers than Virginia last game, but Loyola looked really good. Obviously, they're playing at home, so, you know, Ridley's a comfortable place to play your first game of the season. But, I mean, that was a thorough, beatdown of the Cavaliers. So, I mean, if you're a Blue Jays fan, you just got to hope that they start out better in the first half, because there were so many long stretches against Houston. Jake, you watched that game. There's so many long stretches of time where Hopkins didn't even have a good possession, let alone a decent shot. So I hope that's not a repeat on Saturday.
Speaking of teams that don't want a repeat of last week, Albany takes on Syracuse at 4 o'clock on ACC Network Extra. In fact, Syracuse doesn't want a repeat of last year's matchup either. But the Battle of the Thruway takes place at 4. And we'll just put a bow on Saturday's game with slate with Saturday Night Lacrosse under the bubble at 7:30 as Detroit Mercy takes on Notre Dame. That one could be pretty interesting. And both of those games are ACC Network Extras, so free to stream with an ESPN
subscription.
Yeah, well, not a subscription like ESPN Plus, but if you have it on your TV package, you'll be able to stream it for free. And one other game on Monday before we record our preview episode next week. High Point at Virginia at 4 on ACC Network Extra. A little President's Day lax there. And that one could be intriguing as well, because remember, High Point already has a win against an ACC team this season. Can they make it 2-for-2? That also on ACC Network Extra.
Syracuse needs to win out. That's obvious. And I know talking to some of the coaching staff, it's kind of like, it sounds like they're in kind of like a scramble mode. I mean, you know, talking with them, how the process is for those listening at home, preparing for the upcoming opponent starts usually on like a Thursday or Friday, and then lasts to the following Thursday, Friday, where they would prepare for the next opponent. So, you know, they're starting preparing for Albany for Army right now, but this Albany team's pretty good. I mean, they still have Tahoka. They have Jacob Patterson, who I really like. Sean Eccles is a very good midfielder. And they have a lot of new guys, too. Their big thing that Albany will need to clean up, from what I've heard from their scrimmages, face-offs, that's obvious, and then ground balls. If they can get ground balls, and that was a problem for Syracuse last week, too, and face-offs a little bit. We'll find out who is going to be taking face-offs. My guess is Varello again. And if he struggles yet again, we'll see Jake Falp. And I mean, Varello did a great job making 50-50 ground balls with Malcolm Feeney of Colgate last week. But it was just scooping up those ground balls, and that's when John Desko went double pull. And later on, once he got the groove, went back with Varello and Falp, and they went with the traditional long stick and short stick on either wing. But if I think it might be another ground ball effort again, if whoever gets the most ground balls might have the edge, possibly in the game. We'll see.
I can't believe the Syracuse coaches actually talked to you after the last episode.
Can't imagine caring about face-offs at all. Who cares? Syracuse has to play better. Albany has to fill pretty much, replace their best player at pretty much every position, which is an interesting task. We'll see how they do.
Especially their defense. I mean, they had a lot of really good players.
Best player everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, Tahoka is literally there.
Gone.
Yeah, attack, midfield, Fogo.
Gone. Fogo. Gone. Goalie. Gone. But, I mean, there are good players here, and I expect this will be a more low-scoring game than some of the previous, you know, Albany-Syracuse games, you know, from the last couple years that sometimes have been, you know, more in the 15s and 16s. I think this will probably be, you know, maybe 10, 11, 12. You know, hopefully Syracuse has their defensive matchups figured out. I don't know why a mediocre defenseman like Tyson Ballenberry was covering Colgate's best attackman instead of their best defenseman. Hopefully they have that figured out against the Hoga. Syracuse obviously, you know, needs a win, but I'm sure they know that. They've been here before. Yeah.
I'd be intrigued to see who Bomberry gets assigned to. I don't think it'll be Tahoka. I think you'll put Mellon on Tahoka, and then maybe Bomberry on Patterson. Because after last year, I mean, Tahoka had 5 goals on Bomberry, and it didn't look good.
Yeah, and last year you had Tahoka was the number 2 guy, now he's number 1. Yeah, I'd imagine, you know, Patterson. He was the sharpshooter last year. He put up 42 goals. Whoever starts third on that attack is going to be interesting. Davis Diamond kind of was the guy who got a bit of a run as the fourth attackman when Connor Fields was banged up in parts of last year. So I'm assuming he'll be alongside Tahoga and Patterson. Midfield's going to be, you know, a big question because it was, you know, Kyle McClancy and Sean Eccles last year, really, and McClancy was such a fantastic all-around player. He's gone, so now it's Eccles, and after that, Alex Bergmaster scored 10 goals as a freshman, and that's pretty much it. As far as, you know, I mean, Justin Ray, he also played some, you know, midfield as well. He put up some big numbers. He's obviously graduated. So, I mean, in terms of returning from the midfield, like, Albany's third highest returning midfield scorer was Jack Bergmaster, who was a junior and scored 7 goals. So, you know, that'll be, you know, a big question for Albany is after, you know, the, you know, some of the big guns they have. I mean, it's not, they weren't a particularly deep team as far as offense a year ago went, but they were able to get, I mean, like, Troy Ray scored 11 goals, you know, in transition, you know, I mean, so, like, as, you know, as a defenseman. So they were able to get goals from, you know, lots of different places, and yeah, TD winning 79% of his faceoffs, so, you know, he had the ball all the time. They will have to answer a lot of questions that did not require asking a year ago.
I think at attack, that third attackman you mentioned, Jake, it might be Davis Diamond. I have heard also, you know, Mitch Laffin got some time as a freshman. They have 2 good freshmen. Speaking of freshmen, they have Teo Shantahe McComber from Salisbury Prep. I probably butchered his first name. I apologize. And then the second guy I've heard a lot of, and he's a local kid from Churchville, Chile, Corey Yunker. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, we see a lot of him. And I know the Albany guys and people around in that Albany area have raved about his play. And he's like the sleeper guy on this Albany team. He could make a presence, whether it is as that third attackman or he comes in as a fourth or fifth attackman. They play him out a little bit. I keep an eye out for number 11.
Right, so shall any other games that we want to go a little in depth with before we go into upset specials and pick them?
We didn't talk about Denver Duke at all.
Yeah, Denver Duke's a pretty big one.
I don't know. We really butchered the format that you said we were going with here. We said we were going to go with, like, list the games off and then preview the big ones, and we just
I know, and then you talking. Guys interjected with it, so whatever.
Denver
Duke's going to be interesting. You know, Denver looked really good against Air Force. Duke, you know, had the upset loss to High Point. But remember, body clocks might be a factor, but, you know, knowing Denver with the way Tierney prepares that team,
played,
I don't think that's going to be too much of an
issue. Played Duke in plenty of times. They go to North Carolina, like, every year.
I know, but 11 a.m. early, usually they play like
that. They played them at 11 a.m. before.
All right, but either way, it's going to be a fun one, I think, to see. You know, you got the two of the game's greatest coaches going off. It's always an entertaining game between the two as well when they play every year, so.
Well, Denver, in replacing Trevor Baptiste, won 15 of 19 faceoffs last week with freshman Brett Boos. So, you know, obviously, you know, I don't know if he'll be able to be Trevor for the whole year, but that was kind of the big question for the Pioneers, and that was handled seamlessly. One, Duke, I think, is a team that will require, you know, faceoffs a lot, based on kind of what I saw from the offense last week against High Point, you know, kind of went 50-50, and Duke's offense looked kind of iffy. You know, Denver, I think it's Austin French, or is recovering from an injury?
Correct.
And yeah, so that'll, you know, he was probably their second best player last year behind Ethan Walker. Ethan Walker, who had 10 shots, but only one goal. Kind of other guys kind of stepped up. Colin Rutan's score had 4 points. Jack Hanna, sophomore midi, he had 4 points. Ellis Geis had a hat trick. A lot of new names on this Denver offense, which will be a little interesting to see. But I do think this is a defensive oriented team this year. They got Matt Neufeld, used to play in Maryland, fantastic long stick midi. You know, they got Dylan Johnson and Dylan Gaines, two very good defensemen. Alex Reddy had a strong day in the cage. I think this is going to be a strong defense for the Pioneers. I think that's what will lead them, and I think that's what will make the difference in this game against Duke. I really like Denver's defense, and you know, I with Duke's offense, I still kind of think answer some questions. You know, Brad Smith's injury. That's I think could be the key is you know, some of the elite guys on that Denver defense.
All right, we will move into the pick'em portion, as I think we covered all the other games that we wanted to cover. Ohio State, UMass might, a little bit more on that, I guess, maybe.
UMass won last time it was at Amherst. I mean, I think they got outplayed. They outplayed Army last game. They beat them in face-off, ground balls, and shots. You know, Army ended up obviously winning. And UMass probably would have lost in regulation were it not for Chris Connolly's goal with, I believe, like 1 second left in that game. But they'll be hungry. You know, this will be the first real road test for Ohio State. And, you know, like I said, UMass won last time they were the Buckeyes came there, so they'll be hungry for a win. And if Ohio State's not ready, UMass may take it, get a W out of that.
Army Rutgers should be pretty fun. You know, Rutgers is going to be able to score. They've got plenty of pieces on offense. They have lit it up the first 2 weeks, but defense looks certainly shaky against St. John's. That was, you know, that game was a goal fest for sure. But, which is, look, Rutgers can certainly handle themselves in those kinds of games. But I think that is a concern. And Army, you know, showed an offensive punch that we didn't see from all last year. You know, as mentioned last on the, you know, the recap, Brendan Nichter and Miles Silva both had 7 goals. Or Nichter had 7 points. He had 4 goals and 3 assists. A freshman, Miles Silva, who only had 2 goals all last year, but 4 goals. So, you know, an Army, probably the better defensive team. You know, for Johnny Sirdek, he'll be the best, you know, long pole on the field. He's a fantastic player. Goalie play will probably be key. A.J. Barreto's was strong last week for them. Rutgers is going to need certainly a lot more from Ben Pounds. He's only saved at 50%. He's a freshman. Max Edelman was, you know, senior starter for a long time. He hasn't been in this so far as yet. And so they'll certainly need more from him. Connor Harriman, the faceoff guy, he's banged up as well, and he won at 82% to start this year. Michael Ott, the freshman, he's also got some time. Didn't end up poorly at all, winning 58%. So, you know, one injury to look for. You know, Rutgers, they play Army this week, and they get Loyola the week after that. Both at home, and Rutgers is very, very hard to beat in Piscataway. But we will learn, you know, quite a bit about the Scarlet Knights and where they are relative to the last couple of years in these next 2 games.
So to add on that, Jake, Max Edelman, apparently coaching staff at Rutgers Pryl hopes that he's playing Saturday against Army, which will help. So and then Harriman is just listed as out. I'm guessing the game I want to at least just discuss a little bit on my end is on Friday, and it's not Lehigh, Virginia. It's going to be UMBC Navy in a battle of Maryland teams. UMBC's first game. We know about their defense. They had the top scoring defense a year ago. They had about just, I believe, under 8 goals per game. They returned their starting goalie, and they returned, luckily, their attack, and they were pretty much out with their attack, their entire starting attack in March, and they couldn't really find any scoring. They got a little bit of scoring in the fall against Utah. Granted, it was Utah in the fall. We'll see how that, what that means coming in the spring. But if that defense and that killer speed defense holds, it should be a fun matchup with Navy, who had ton of guys scored. Grayson Terrain, 5 goals, 1 assist. Inverse that with Ryan Wade, who had a goal and 5 assists. And then you had Christian Daniel at 2-2, one of Navy's better attackmen. Along with Ryan Curran in goal, this could be an interesting Friday night matchup that, you know, a lot of people aren't really discussing. But if you're a lax rat like me, you might be wanting to, you know, tune in and watch that game.
I look at UMass. Or not UMass, UMBC. UMBC was 3rd in adjusted defensive efficiency a year ago and 62nd in adjusted offensive efficiency. That team couldn't score goals. They also don't give up a lot of goals, which means they play a lot of, you know, to some degree, some close games. But when they go up against teams who can put the ball in the back of the net, they usually have some problems. The Navy's usually a pretty consistently solid team. They were 14th in defensive efficiency a year ago. And they look solid against Vermont. Probably low scoring game, but I just think Navy's got far more weapons on the offensive side of the ball and shouldn't have many problems on defense side of the line. You know, Navy's got off to, you know, they looked solid last week. I think they should win this one fairly comfortably, similar to last week. And they get Maryland the week after, so they could be, you know, 2-0 going to that game.
Alrighty, we'll move on to our upset specials for the week. Safe, you want to go first?
Is Hopkins over Loyola an upset?
According to Lax Vegas Lines, our good friends at Lax Vegas Lines, give them the follow there. They are 3-point underdogs, so fair enough.
I'll take the Jays, and I'm comfortable with that decision.
I'm gonna go off the board. I know it's not on there on the Lax Vegas Lines thing. I think with Monmouth at home, I think they do pull up. I would consider them as an upset over Princeton. Would you guys agree?
You're already picking them to...
I was considering that only because of the Schadenfreude scale of Jake would never let me live anything down. Oh, so because of that,
if Princeton loses, I will take up the entire podcast.
Yes, so I could see this coming from a mile away after Monday's end of the episode that I was going to pick Monmouth as my upset pick of the week, but you could go with Monmouth as your upset pick of the week because I might even have a spicier one.
I'm going to go Monmouth as my upset, and it'll be a close game.
Rest assured, I will. Frank and Princeton 20th, and then just... I've had enough of this. I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to go with... any of this. I'll go Harvard over North Carolina. Why not? It's the only one I can really think of.
I know this is going to sound ludicrous, but, yeah, Monmouth over Princeton's one that I have in mind, and also High Point over Virginia, but I got one that's way spicier.
Is it Villanova at Yale?
No.
I know what he's going for. Do it, Ryan.
Utah over Hofstra.
Oh, my goodness.
Because this screams Hofstra non-con. They got a good win against Lehigh. It's looking good for the Pride.
Ryan, guess I just want to say happens. Welcome to the resistance. I'm happy on the Utah plus 5.
I will say this. I do not think Utah's going to win. I will say this. Utah can score goals. And Hofstra scored 4 goals last week. Utah can put the ball in the cage. There is no question about that. and Hofstra scored 4 goals last night. So if it's going to happen, well, you can see how it potentially would go down. I don't think it's going to happen, but that would be how.
We'll get into our normal pick'em slate now. We'll save the 6 in our pick'em league, which we'll get to in a little bit. But let's start off with a couple games on the Lax Vegas line scale. Harvard, Carolina, that was Jake's upset special, but I think UNC will hold serve in that one.
I'm also going UNC.
I like your thinking, Jake, but I'm going to go with UNC.
Right. Let's see what else. Yale, Villanova, I think the Elis avoid an upset like last year. I think they're just too good this year, and I think they're laser-focused on the defense. Give me Yale.
Give me the good boys. Yale.
Yale, and I'll say maybe they don't cover. -6 is a pretty good line, but yeah.
I'll go Bulldogs.
Right, Maryland Penn, I'm going with the Terps.
Terps.
The awkward turtle is being done in my apartment right now. Give me Maryland.
All right. And the intriguing one, Ohio State UMass. This one, we might be diverging a bit, I bet.
I like Ohio State.
Yeah. I'm going Buckeyes.
Could be interesting. Ohio defense hasn't been great, which I think was, you know, kind of one of the things that looked, you know, kind of questionable them coming in because they lost a lot there. But I'll go Ohio State. Yeah, I like what they were doing on offense so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's my biggest concern with them, their defense. And I believe they started a different goalie last week, if I am correct on that. They started a freshman.
They split time, indeed, Chris. 40 minutes for the freshman, and Josh Kirkson finished out the game with the last 20 minutes.
Skyler Walker.
Skyler. I knew it was like our Skyler first name, but yeah.
8 goals, 8 saves in about 38-36 of time, and then Josh Kirkson came in, made 3 saves. He only gave up 2 goals. My guess is they'll go back to Kirkson.
He's sharp so far.
Yeah, I mean,
he played good against Cleveland State.
Yeah, he kind of.
He was probably. I think he had 14 saves in that game. He was probably the reason, like, held on for that victory. Mm-hmm. So.
And it also could be just a reason why, you know, it's first game. Cleveland State might be a little bit better, but you know, as the season goes on, maybe that changes. I do want to see a little bit more of Ryan Tarafenko on offense. He's a starting midfielder. He had 6 ground balls, 2nd on the team in that category last week against BU. But, you know, I'm used to seeing, you know, a lot of him on defense and then coming on transition, especially 2 years ago when he was a freshman. I don't think he's scored at all yet this season.
Yeah, I'll go with Ohio State as well. You know, UMass is difficult to play at home at Gerber, but Buckeyes have done enough to win some games early on, and I think they'll get enough done to get it done and really build a little bit of a launch pad with a good non-con win here. Not that, you know, they had good non-con performances against a Cleveland State team that's more than game this year, and a BU team that looked pretty decent too. So, yeah, give me Ohio State with a road victory.
Did you call UMass's stadium Gerber Field? It's Garber.
Garber.
Shout out. You've been doing that for like weeks at this point.
Alrighty. Now on to our Pick'em League games. Adam set this up for us each week. The 4 of us plus Adam pick the games of the week. As right now, Adam is your leader at 9-1. Jake and Safe are 7-3. And Chris and I are 5-5.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi. We're as disappointing as our alma mater, am I right? But Here's week two's slate of pick'em games. We start with Denver versus Duke.
I actually think we all have Denver, right? Except for
Everyone
Adam.
That is correct. Adam. Everyone but Adam has Denver.
It's all, it feels a lot of, as we're looking at this at their picture right now, it's a lot of similarities.
We'll yeah, I think Denver wins this one. They've looked very solid against Air Force, and if they could win at the face-off X, that might be Duke's Achilles heel at the start of the season. That could be a way that the Pios could really exploit it. I know they don't have Trevor Baptiste anymore, but if they can get good face-off play, that could be the thing that they could expose Duke on and come away with a victory out of.
I mean, it's going to be an even matchup. I mean, Brian Smith is a great face-off guy, but the question is for me, I think Duke is a team who needs a lot of face-off wins. It's kind of my feeling on them. You know, I don't think they're a team that is, you know, going to be particularly good on offense without them. I think that could be an even matchup, maybe tilt towards Denver. So for that reason, I like the Thunders.
It could be Denver as well.
All right, Lehigh, Virginia, now the Friday night game. A bit of similarity with one dissertation here as well. I got Virginia. I think even though Virginia lost handily last week to Loyola, I think their offense is still a bit more in tune than Lehigh's is, and their issues on defense are not going to be as glaring tomorrow or tonight, if you're listening to this morning, because they're going up against an offense that had some issues last week, to say the least.
Yeah, if you score three goals. You scored three goals in your previous game, I'm never picking you just by South Virginia.
And as I mentioned earlier, Lehigh needs Andrew Pettit. I don't even know if he's going to play on Friday. If he does, that helps him a lot. But if he doesn't, it's going to be tough. And that's why I'm going to pick Virginia.
I went with Lehigh here. That game was abysmal against the Pride last Saturday. But I have to imagine, like, maybe they were looking ahead to Virginia, and they just weren't focused on the task at hand against Officer last week. So I just have to assume they'll play better, and I think with their backs to the wall, like, I think they're gonna be the Lehigh everyone said they will be this year. So that's why I went with Lehigh.
All right, the next game is a clean sweep across the board. By the way, Adam also picked Duke for that. This one, all five of us agreed. Robert Morris versus Georgetown, we all have the Hoyas.
He picked Virginia for that one, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Virginia. Yeah, sorry, I was looking at the wrong row. But yeah, he picked Virginia as well, but because we moved it around halfway through the segment, but no worries there. Robert Morris, Georgetown, that's kind of clear. We're all going with the Hoyas.
I think, yeah, everyone, right?
Everyone.
Watch Robert Morris win this. That would be great.
Yep.
And all of us wrong on that one. That would be great.
I do think this will be a competitive game. Robert Morris cannot possibly play any worse. It can't go any worse than it did.
This is not a knock on.
I don't think this is a bad Robert Morris team whatsoever.
And they admit it too.
This isn't a knock on the Colonials. I just think that Georgetown's,
Georgetown's good.
I think they
that offense is that has potential to be a really explosive offense this year. Picardo and Caraway. Robert Clark and Lucas Winberg are two seniors, and that is an experience. You know, they had a lot of seniors last year. They had a lot of seniors on the attack this year. They had a good performance in goal by Ron McCoy last week. So, yeah, I do think this would be a good game, but I like Georgetown. I think Robert Morris, just a tough start to the season. You know, they scheduled tough, give them credit for it. It's been tough, but after this, things, get a bit easier for them. I think we'll see, more of the Robert Morris team we expected.
Yeah, I'm going to go Georgetown as well. I mean, I expect Robert Morris to be a lot more competitive, and luckily for them, Georgetown is not Penn State, but Georgetown still has a good offense. Bucaro, as I mentioned, Jake Caraway. They also have Lucas Wittenberg up in midfield. I still think it'll be a little too much for Robert Morris, but, who knows? But give me the Hoyas.
Yeah, I mean, like, Penn State went on a run there in, like, the middle of that game, where they scored on, like, 13, like, 15 possessions or something.
12 of 13 in the second quarter.
The first few possessions of the second quarter, I don't think... Like, no, that was the first few possessions of the game they didn't score. And then from there, they scored on, like, 14 of their next leg.
Oh, it was...
It was just ludicrous. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
It was sublime. It was just, like, on another level.
I mean, just, yeah, I mean, that just was one of those days. I mean, it happens, you know. I'll go the Hoyas, but I do think this will be a good one.
At this one, we have a little bit of diverging opinions. Army-Rutgers. Gonna be a good one, and I think our picks reflect that.
I went with Rutgers. I mean, like, the last couple games this series, the home team has, like, prevailed. So I think, you know, being in Jersey, that's going to help. Like, Army won, obviously, and that's all that's important, against UMass last week. But, like, UMass on the stat sheet, like, kind of dominated Army, I think, especially on, like, faceoff. I think, like, UMass was, like, a 3-1 advantage. But they out-ground balled it. I don't know if that's a verb. But they had more ground balls than Army last week, and they outshot Army almost, like, 2-1. So Army, again, like, Barreto had a great game with 17 saves against the Minutemen. But, you know, like, for the most part, UMass, like, outperformed them on the, you know, on the score sheet. So I just think Rutgers is playing pretty good, and offensively, they shouldn't have let St. John's go on a 12-3 run last game, but, like, I just think they're going to prevail in this one, and they have, you know, the advantage of being at home. So I think I have Rutgers winning this one.
This is a competitive game. You know, Edelman back, if you can hopefully get him back, you can give Rutgers, you know, a boost and say tomorrow. I just think, look, Rutgers is 22-2 in their last 24 games at home. And, like, Rutgers has not lost a home game by more than one goal since March 8th of 2015. You know, this will be a close one. It'll be a close one, but Rutgers is so hard to beat at home. They're gonna put the ball in the cage. I think they got too many options with the way, you know, Mullins and Charlon Bees are playing. They got, you know, Tommy Coyne as well, and that's a deep offense. If this was in a, you know, an Army, maybe go the other way, but I can't bet against that offense at home.
Yeah, I was going back and forth on this. Chris just changed his pick in the middle of this.
So I just changed mine after reading.
I had a good divergent point where we'd have the two that pick for one and then two that pick for the other, and then halfway through it, you change.
Well, because I forgot that, well, just happened, like, on Thursday, Edelman is expected to play. I think that changes a little bit of my pick to go and at least go in the other way to Rutgers, because I think having your starting goalie helps a little bit for Rutgers in that sense. You know, I would rather trust you're facing, like, a ranked team like Army, I'd rather be trusting or hoping that you have your starting experienced goalie instead of a freshman who kind of got a little bit rattled against St. John's.
Yeah.
That's why I switched my pick grind to Rutgers.
Yeah, it's just, they're just so, like, their two losses at home in the last 3 years are a triple OT game and a game they think they won.
Yeah.
I
was waffling.
I didn't want to bring that up, Dick, but yeah, literally, they should have beaten the Terps. And Hopkins, they probably did beat in their minds. So they're pretty much 24-0 in the last 3 years.
Yeah. High Point Solution Stadium is a fortress. And I was really going back and forth on this one. I'm giving Army this slight edge because Army looked good against UMass. Rutgers is having a little bit of an issue on D, and this is a point where the Black Knights could pounce a little bit just on that. But Edelman is
the worry for Army in this game. Another one. They were 4 of 25 on faceoffs last week.
Yeah.
And Rutgers, I know Harriman's hurt. I know Harriman is banged up, might not play. But even if he doesn't go, Michael Ott's won 58%. So that could be a problem.
Yeah, that could. I just think.
Look, I mean, not to try and like push Ryan in the other direction. I just.
Yeah, no, and I'm only game. And I'm saying this is only going to be a 1 or 2 goal game. Rutgers, I think, could definitely win this too. I just given a very slight edge to Army, and I was contemplating going back and forth on this one. So this is definitely one of those games where either one of these teams could win, and wouldn't be surprised no matter what the game goes. Only thing I would really be surprised would be maybe an Army blowout win, I guess, right? Otherwise, yeah. Anything else is on the table. Next up, Charles Street Derby, Loyola Johns Hopkins. This one was Adam had Rutgers on the other one. Loyola Johns Hopkins depends on your alumni affiliation.
I mean, I'll go. Like, I just don't think they can play. That was the worst Hopkins. That is a complete Hopkins loss. Getting just blown out in faceoffs, just getting out hustled in ground balls, and just honestly just getting jumped. Towson just was ready for a fight, and Hopkins was looking for an early season scrimmage. And after the first quarter, it was all Towson. But I just don't think there's a lot of factors going in that game, the new faceoff guy, new goalie, and Hopkins was a rival game on the road. So I think they could bounce back in this. I just don't see them playing as poorly as they did at home. If they do, it's going to be a really tough season at Hop at JSU because those are two good opportunities for non-conference wins that are just get blown by, and Loyola looks really good. I mean, Pat Spencer is obviously one of the greatest players of this generation, if not the best, and he's going to have a little bit of help with like I said, Kevin Lindley and Jacob Sover played really well a goal against the Cavs. So Loyola looks really good. It's going to take a bus down to Homewood, and they could really put a hurting on Hopkins if Jay's aren't ready. But I have Hopkins. I think they're just going to rally back and perform a lot better than they did last weekend.
Hopkins will play much better. I don't have any questions about that. I don't think Alex Woodall is a better face-off guy than Bailey Savio is, and he can really get on some roles, and he did. The offense, I think, with more possessions, Virginia, when they had the ball, they were able to do some things on offense. Obviously, Virginia is a super talented crew, maybe the most talented one in the country. But offense, they've got some talent on the offensive side of the ball as well that I think, as the year goes on, will work their way into it. I just think this might be just a couple weeks too early for them to really get going. I mean, Hopkins has I think Pat Spencer scored 3 goals in his career against Johns Hopkins, which is a testament to the job Hopkins has done on him in this matchup. But look, Towson was able to run by some of Hopkins' guys, and as much as Towson's offense may be improved, I don't think it's as talented as Loyola's is. I think this will be a close game. Look, maybe if it was in a couple weeks, I feel a bit better about Hopkins. I do think they'll be fine in the long run. Loyola just firing too much on all cylinders after last week.
Yeah, I agree. Hopkins will play a lot better than they did last week. Petromala is definitely going to have them going in the right direction. I just think Loyola is looking too good for them to beat them. I think Loyola is already clicking on all cylinders, and you saw it with that the domination they had against UVA. So give me Loyola in this one, but it'll be a lot. It's going to be a closer game than either one of these two teams' games last week. It's going to be a much better effort out of Hopkins, but I think Loyola will get the job done and win by 3 or 4.
Yeah, I'm going Loyola because I didn't go to Hopkins. So there you go.
Adam picked Hopkins as well. You could tell, and he's the biggest Hopkins homer of them all, and he only picked Towson to do a reverse jinx, or so that way he could gain points, and what do you know, he gained points last week against Towson. And then last but not least, Battle of the Thruway, Albany-Syracuse. I'm going Albany because when it rains, it pours when it's the Syracuse Orange, am I right?
But they're in a dome, so it never rains in the dome. It's always 72 and sunny, but anyways, it won't be sunny if my pick goes right. Syracuse. So much for me not picking Hopkins because I didn't go to Hopkins. I picked Albany. Yep, I picked Albany. So he lums for Hopkins picked Hopkins, and he lums for Syracuse picked against Syracuse. So much negativity in Central New York. I'm going with Albany.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Cuse. I think Albany, they replaced so much from last year's team that I just think it's going to take time to figure out all those questions on the roster. Syracuse did not play well last week, but the things they did not do well, I do believe they were able to fix up. You know, ultimately, there are long-term flaws on the Syracuse roster that, again, as you know, I mentioned on Monday, can only be fixed through a talent injection. But I do think this is a team that is better than they showed last week. I think, you know, they're going to improve, you know, some of the issues with the ground balls and the turnovers. I expect, you know, just a more streamlined effort, you know, and if they have some guys who played well, Brendan Curry, Nate Solomon, against some, you know, an Albany defense that has a lot of questions and, you know, against a, you know, new goalie as well, I think the Orange can win with this one.
I picked Albany. I think, like, Jake, your points of, like, they have to replenish so many pieces is absolutely on point. But I think, like, just mentally, that win last year at the Dome was, like, kind of pivotal. Obviously, you know, this would be a totally different team, except for Tahoga at attack. But, like, you know, there's still going to be at least three classes of Danes on that squad that, like, know that they can win at the Dome. And I think, like, recently, like, I don't think
the Dome
so.
Is
yeah, one
last
year.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's like a whole total.
Well, like, yeah, but not like this class, right? Like, I mean, Thompson, like 2013, 2014. Like,
they're always competitive.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And like, and they actually won thoroughly last year. I mean, they
yeah, obviously
Syracuse last year. So that's my point. It's just like mentally, like. That feeling of, like, not just, like, winning or losing closely at the Dome by one or in overtime or whatever. Like, you know, you actually beat them, like, thoroughly the year before. Yeah, obviously you're going to have to replace a lot of pieces, especially, like, your defensive end. And obviously T.D. Erland is going to be gone and Connor Fields as well. But I think, like, you know, Albany and Syracuse are going to be you know, kind of like interesting points. Like Syracuse had like a really bad outing against Colgate, and that was you know, kind of maybe like a little bit alarming, just because like Colgate, like again, like I pointed at Hopkins versus Towson game. Like Towson has won at Towson for the last two meetings at Johnny Unitas. Like Colgate hadn't won period against the Orange since 2008. And they hadn't won at the Dome since 2007, so that would seem like more, like maybe Syracuse just has a little bit more questions, and I think Albany's going to be, you know, motivated to prove a lot of people that they were not a one-year fluke last year, getting to the Final Four, and you know, I think as we all know, like that's a good point of like pushing your team when like a lot of people doubt you or think or written you off, so. I think they may surprise a lot of people, and they I think they may pull off a win at the Dome this weekend.
I never pick based on stuff like motivation. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not picking games off of.
I could also see Tahoka having a big day.
I imagine he'll have a good game. But you know, what are you gonna do? What was the answer after that? That'd be my question.
And also, for what it's worth, Adam picked Syracuse, so not sure if trolling, but.
Adam is not high on Albany this year. I would be. He doesn't have Albany ranked this week.
All right, so that will do it for this week's episode, the 100th episode of College Crosscast. So, 100th mainline episode. So we thank you for sticking with us all the way through.
I don't even think it's the 100th mainline episode.
Well, it's College Crosscast episode 100, even though we have like 200 some odd episodes overall. But
the one that we planned was 100.
Yeah. But anyway, if you want to connect with us for a fun weekend of lacrosse, collegecross.com. We've got open threads. Skylar's holding down the fort with a very good women's.
Go to the comments.
Yes.
It's been like 3 years, guys. Come on.
And as I said, Skyler's also got you covered for an exciting women's weekend. There's Florida-Maryland going on as we speak, and other big games as well. So he's got you for that, and we got a lot with the men. And we're always on Twitter as well, at college_cross, and you can follow us four as well. I'm at RyanMcD29.
I'm at CF Pastremski.
At Jake_Nazar. I'm not going to be putting them across.
I am at Gary_Barrister.
Yeah, do follow Jake if you want Elimination Chamber takes.
You follow me for anything, you know, but I'm probably not going to be doing well.
But anyway, we'll be back next week.
You should go to the comments. I'll see you.
Yes,
there.
Go to the comments. Jake will be there in the comments to hang out in the open thread. We have open threads. Open threads are for the fun and games.
I'm begging.
Otherwise, we'll be back with you early next week as we recap the week that was, and then we'll be back again midweek to get you set for the following week of games. So you can also follow us on Facebook as well. Hit a like there. Subscribe to us, iTunes and Google Play, as well as Spotify. We thank you very much. We've been getting some great numbers on these podcasts, so thank you so much for your patronage. And we will catch you next week.
Maximum Boxing, 5 o'clock, ESPN2. Watch it.
Thank you much for president.
Stay hydrated.